From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It has been a blockbuster week at the U.S. Supreme Court. Today, the whole country poised in anticipation of the High Court on gay marriage. Two big decisions in the balance this hour. On Point will bring you the drama of the High Court's actions as they roll out and the meaning for American law and marriage. With me today as we take on the court's ruling, Emily Bazelon, senior editor and legal analyst at Slate. Emily, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And I should say right off the bat here that I'm looking at headlines coming out right now saying that the Supreme Court is striking down DOMA, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. What do you see coming out, Emily?
You're exactly right. It's a 5-4 decision. It is written by Justice Anthony Kennedy, and he is saying that the Defense of Marriage Act, because it essentially discriminates against gay people, is a violation of the Equal Protection Guarantee in the Fifth Amendment.
It's a 5-4 vote, and the implications of this, Emily?
The implications of this are that gay people who are legally married in states that have legalized gay marriage should be receiving federal benefits from the federal government very soon, I hope.
Roberts dissenting, the Chief Justice, Scalia dissenting, Clarence Thomas dissenting. This paperwork, this decision just coming out in Washington as we speak. There'll be lots of analysis here on the other side. As you say, Justice Kennedy, the swing vote here, and I guess we can pretty well picture what a 5-4 vote means in terms of who was where, Emily.
That's right. You're seeing Kennedy joining with the liberals and moderates on the court and to strike down DOMA, and you're seeing the conservatives on the other side. And I think what's really crucial to Kennedy, there are two principles here. One is the traditional sway that states have had over marriage, over domestic relations, and the idea that when Congress passed the Defense of Marriage Act, it intruded on what is traditionally a province of the state. And then the other thing that is really important to Justice Kennedy is the idea that the law cannot single out certain groups just because it disapproves of them, that there's some latent prejudice. And I think he sees in the Defense of Marriage Act exactly that problem.
By seeking to displace this protection and treating these persons as living in marriage as less respected than others, I'm reading here from Kennedy, that's what he's pushing back against here. And also quoting DOMA, this is from the decision, DOMA singles out a class of persons deemed by a state entitled to recognition and protection to enhance their own liberty, saying DOMA had singled them out for deprivation of that protection and liberty, I guess. And the High Court saying 5-4 no to that, Emily. The ramifications of this for the country?
The ramifications are pretty huge. This law passed in 1996. I think at the time it would never have occurred to most people that preventing gay marriage could be unconstitutional. But now we know that it is. The polls have changed. Public opinion is much more in favor of same-sex marriage than it was then. And I think the fact that thousands of couples across the country have gotten married now in 12 states have really changed this whole social norm. And we can all see that, you know, this is a normal part of life, and it means a tremendous amount to the gay community, but I think also to everyone.
Look, this is tricky business. We're reading as these things come out. There are more decisions to come. They should be coming, I presume, within some minutes here. The next will be, or at some point in this hour, on California and its Prop 8 that had banned gay marriage, then been overturned. The court also has that in front of it today. But first up, DOMA, and DOMA struck down by the High Court. Justice Scalia, reading right now from his dissent in Washington, saying the court's opinion, both in explaining its jurisdiction and its decision, spring from the same diseased root and exalted notion of the role of this court in American democratic society. Diseased root, Justice Scalia, unhappy there in his dissent. No, I guess that is not surprising. But Emily Bazelon, this is something to take on board all at once. This of course grows out of a case of a woman who was denied federal benefits in her gay marriage, and in a case that eventually made its way all the way to the court. Now there will be thousands and thousands of gay couples around the country, but only in states that themselves have already approved gay marriage who are covered. Is that right, Emily?
That is right, at least for now. This is the incremental step toward legalizing gay marriage in terms of federal benefits that the gay rights legal community very carefully teed up. They didn't want, the thinking was that it would be too much to ask the court all at once to legalize gay marriage across the entire country. And so instead, what we're seeing is a kind of step-by-step building of the legal principles that they hope will eventually lead to that result. In the meantime, we have this very meaningful interim moment in which couples like the woman in Edie Windsor, who was the plaintiff in this case, she is over 80 years old. She was widowed. She had to pay a very large estate tax when she lost her wife because that marriage was not recognized by the federal government. And so all of those tax benefits, all of those Social Security benefits, all of those things that are benefits for straight couples when they get married will now also be accruing to gay couples who are legally married in the states they live in.
Wow. Public opinion has moved dramatically, and today the court moving dramatically as well, striking down DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act 5-4. This is history being made even as we read what's coming out from the High Court. I'm in the studio with producers who are following this and all the headlines in the SCOTUS blog saying, here, to be clear, the court has not yet released the decision on Prop 8, but there is language in Windsor, the DOMA decision, telegraphing that the court will dismiss on standing the Prop 8 question. We don't know exactly yet here, Emily, but what would the implication of that be if it's dismissed on standing?
Right. It looks here that in Chief Justice Roberts' dissent in the DOMA case, he says about the California marriage ban case, we hold that we lack jurisdiction to consider it in the context of Hollingsworth versus Perry. That's the name of the California case. So that suggests that the California case is not going to be decided on the merits. That would mean, well, we'll have to see. That would probably mean that one of the lower court opinions would stand. And that, well, I don't want to, let's wait till we read the opinion.
We'll wait and
worried.
We'll see. It is a tricky and sometimes fraught business interpreting these things as they come out.
Exactly.
Emily Bazelon, stand by there. It's great to have you with us in this momentous hour of unfolding Supreme Court decisions. With us now from Los Angeles, California, is David Godell, legal director of the Williams Institute on Gender Identity Law and Public Policy at the UCLA School of Law. He represented the LGBT rights group Equality California with a friend of the court briefs in the California Supreme Court case on Prop 8, and again last year in front of the Ninth District U.S. Court of Appeals, clerked for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. David Godell, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
And with us from Washington is Naomi Rao, professor of law at the George Mason University School of Law, served as associate White House counsel special assistant to George W. Bush, 2005-2006, former law clerk for Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Naomi Rao, welcome to you as well.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So, David, first to you, what do you see in the court's ruling first on DOMA?
Well, I think it looks like a wonderful opinion in the sense that Justice Kennedy's opinion recognizes the type of harm that DOMA imposed on same-sex couples. The opinion acknowledges that DOMA, this is a quote, instructs all federal officials and indeed all persons within same-sex marriages, including their own children, that their marriage is less worthy than the marriages of others. The court's opinion, I think, is significant because there was some concern, I think, in the LGBT community that the court would focus on federalism issues, the powers of government, some of which is addressed here, without addressing the fundamental harm of DOMA, which was its denial of equal protection to gay and lesbian people. And so today's opinion is a positive development for the LGBT community because the court is acknowledging the harm that is done when, in this case, the federal government refuses to even recognize their families.
Naomi Rao, from the other perspective here, DOMA was seen as a bulwark by cultural conservatives against exactly this evolution toward more acceptance of gay marriage. How do you see the significance of this ruling, Naomi?
Well, one of the things I think is interesting is that the court had a number of pathways where it could avoid the central issue. And as David mentioned, they didn't. You know, they really focus, from what I can tell just reading through this, that this is a violation of equal protection. The court could have focused on federalism. Mm-hmm. They could have dismissed on standing grounds and sort of, you know, left the issue for perhaps another case. But obviously they didn't want to do that. And Justice Kennedy and the four liberal justices sort of, you know, reached out and took that took that issue kind of full on.
Violates equal protection under the law. Is this a fundamentally new understanding of equal protection here, Naomi?
Well, I think it is a different understanding of equal protection if one is looking, say, at the original meaning of the 14th Amendment. It is not a dramatic departure when you look at some of the court's decisions over the last decade or 20 years, where Justice Kennedy and Lawrence, in some sense, very much set the groundwork for this opinion in DOMA today.
This is Someday, history being made at the U.S. Supreme Court and more to come. Large crowds gathered outside the court in Washington. The court in the first decision rolling out here, striking down the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, 1996. When that law was passed, gay marriage, as far as I can see here from the record, was not legal anywhere in the world. Today, much has changed, including in this country and the Supreme Court, at least on this front. There's more to come as we speak. David Codell, you've been following this debate for a long time. When did you begin to think we might see this day? And did you think we would see this historic decision today?
Well, I have thought from the beginning that the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional, even though it was enacted at a time when no same-sex couple was married in any place in the entire world. The measure was so clearly designed to cause harm to a particular group of people, as the court recognized today, that I think from the beginning many people thought that this measure would not survive. I think a constitutional challenge to DOMA had to await the day when same-sex couples actually could marry. That day, of course, is here. We've now got 12 states and the District of Columbia. Within a few months, that will be the number that permits same-sex couples to marry. So this day, I think, was coming. I think the court's cases, Romer versus Evans in 1996, Lawrence v. Texas in 2003, were laying the groundwork for understanding gay and lesbian people. The interesting thing about this case is this case, along with the Prop 8 case, are the first instances in which the court has had before it a case where it was asked, or at least these justices, to rule on the rights of gay people in a family. This is the first time the court has had a chance to recognize gay people as members of families.
And this ruling, of course, meaning that legally married couples, same-sex couples, will be entitled to equal treatment under federal law with regard, for example, to income taxes, to Social Security benefits, and right on down the very long list, I think it's 1,000-plus list of federal benefits that go to married couples. This, in the, as you say, the 12 states plus soon the District of Columbia, where it's legal. 36 states still ban gay marriage. It will not apply there, obviously, because people at least won't be married in those states. They might be married somewhere else and go to those states. We've got lots of callers coming in on this historic decision. Lisa in Lexington, Kentucky is on the line. Lisa, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I think it's wonderful that they've upheld this. You know, I think anytime any government legislates discrimination against one group of people, it's a danger to everybody. But what I find fascinating is that this same Supreme Court has just, in the same session, struck down equal access for all voters. The Salinas case eradicates the right to remain silent if you're arrested. You know, it's like they're giving with one hand and taking away with the other.
Yeah, it's always a complicated picture, but celebration there in Lisa's corner for the ruling today. And questions here as well. Thank you, Lisa. Let me get one from John in Des Moines, Iowa. John, you're on.
Hi, Tom. I think you just answered my question because you kept talking about the state, if they were legally married in the state. But just to clarify, if a couple is married in Iowa, which was one of the first states to recognize it, and they move to, let's say, Missouri, I don't know if Missouri is legal or not, but let's say it isn't, they won't be recognized then?
Let's go to our panel here. Emily, how about it? If somebody's married in Iowa where it's legal, they're living somewhere else, are they entitled to those federal benefits or not?
That will be up to the Obama administration. There's going to be a really interesting and complicated set of legal questions about how this patchwork of rights and benefits is going to play out. And, you know, for example, the IRS only recognizes or goes by the marriage law of the state where you live. So if the Obama administration follows that rule, then gay couples who are married in Massachusetts and then move to Nebraska would not get the tax benefits. On the other hand, other federal agencies do this differently. So we're really going to have to see how the Obama administration decides to interpret this ruling. And I imagine it's going to take them a little while to react, although presumably they've also been preparing for it.
Naomi Rao, how do you imagine this may play out, or what are the ramifications here for the 36 states that still do not have legal gay marriage? Does this put pressure on them to go in that direction? Pressure on them to circle the wagons to resist? What?
Yeah, you know, I think that's an interesting question. I mean, the majority opinion seems to be careful not to specifically reach that question. But I think, as Justice Scalia points out in his dissent, the rationale of the majority opinion strongly suggests that those laws may be unconstitutional, precisely, you know, for equal protection reasons, right? I mean, if these types of laws demean the dignity of same-sex couples, then, you know, the next step is to say that the states that prohibit gay marriage, you know, those laws are also invalid. And, you know, so that's not, that issue hasn't been decided in this case, but I think it's probably a next logical step.
Emily, do you agree?
I think it is a next logical step. It will take more litigation. And, you know, there will be some sense of impatience. Once you have this ruling, people in the gay rights advocacy camp will be hungry for more. And that's understandable. I think, though, it's important to remember that one of the virtues of the way the Supreme Court does business is it only decides the cases and controversies that are in front of it. And sometimes that can help society get used to a relatively new idea and kind of take it in one bite at a time, as opposed to in a more dramatic and sweeping fashion. And so I think that's really one of the great things about this whole idea of challenging the Defense of Marriage Act in particular, as opposed to a more sweeping ruling that would simply legalize gay marriage across the entire country.
I mean, I'm reading here from SCOTUS blog, Kevin Russell saying, to be clear, it does not establish a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. It was important to the outcome that the couple in the case was legally married under state law. This is one interpretation. The equal protection violation arose from Congress's disrespecting that decision by New York to allow the marriage. Nuance coming, more decision to come here. Lots of focused attention on this in Washington today. Lots of people outside the Supreme Court. Here's some sound from the steps of the Supreme Court as these rulings are coming down. This is Phil Addy of the group Catholics for Equality telling CNN he was excited over the Supreme Court's ruling on the Defense of Marriage Act.
This is a historic day, not just for LGBT people, not just for Catholics, but for every American and every person across the globe. This will have a ripple effect in countries that we don't even realize have LGBT concerns.
Ripple effect across this country, and perhaps, as that one of many outside the court says today, around the world. More coming here now. SCOTUS blog is saying, Naomi, David, Emily, I don't know if you can see this, but in the California case, the petitioners did not have standing to appeal the district court order. Emily, what does that mean?
That means that we will go all the way back to the district court ruling in California, and that ruling struck down Proposition 8, California's gay marriage ban, and it will be up to the state of California to figure out how to apply that statewide. I have a feeling. I need to look at the opinion to make sure. But what happened was that the court decided that this case should not have come before it because the proper parties weren't there. This is what's called standing, the idea that you need to meet certain tests in order to bring your case to court. And this is a really interesting lineup. We have in the majority denying standing Chief Justice Roberts with Justices Scalia, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan. So I'll let you take that in because that's not the typical majority. And then the dissent is Justice Kennedy with Justices Thomas, Alito, and Sotomayor.
David Cordell, this is your turf we're talking about here, California. Help us get to a clear understanding of the implication of this ruling by the High Court. What does it mean for Prop 8 and California's one-time ban on gay marriage?
Well, I haven't read the opinion, but I think what it appears to be the result would be is that the trial court ruling will stand. And that ruling was an order to state officials in California that they could not apply Proposition 8.
Let me just read something. This is from SCOTUS blog saying the Ninth Circuit was without jurisdiction to consider this the appeal. The judgment of the Ninth Circuit is vacated, and the case is remanded with instructions to dismiss the appeal for lack of jurisdiction. Does that change the complexion, David?
No. So what that means is that the appeal is gone. And so what we're left with is the case before the appeal happened, which is the district court ruling. And the district court ruling was that state officials mm-hmm. and everyone acting under their supervision could no longer apply Proposition 8. And so what that means is that the state officials in California will likely instruct the county clerks in California that they must begin allowing same-sex couples to marry. There is a lingering dispute out there as to whether the district court ruling would apply statewide. Some people argue that it wouldn't. I think the better of the argument is that based on the way California marriage law operates, there will be a uniform policy throughout the state.
Naomi Rao, let's look here at national implications of this ruling. David thinks he'll see a uniform then sign-off here on gay marriage in California. Implications of this court ruling nationally, if it's on the basis of whether or not they had standing to bring the case or to consider it, does it have national implications, Naomi?
Again, obviously the opinion now is just released, so yes. I haven't looked at it. I'm not sure that this a ruling on standing will have national implications. I think one of the interesting questions, it's largely confined to California. And so part of the question is whether the district court can issue an injunction that applies statewide. There's a lot of legal dispute about whether a district court judge, a trial court judge, can do that. And and then as David points out, though, there's a different question about whether the state of California, whether the government of California will just choose to apply it statewide.
Emily, I mean, on the face of it, this is looking like a big day for same-sex marriage rights, both with the striking down of the central provision of DOMA here and with gay marriage standing in California.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, the risk of the California case was that the court was going to make a move against same-sex marriage and say something that would uphold this voter-approved initiative banning gay marriage. And that didn't happen. So essentially, the California case is mostly a wash, although I think David's right that likely there will be gay marriages taking place statewide in California. And also,
meaning it's not
litigation.
A wash for Californians.
It's not a wash for California, although it's a little bit tricky because what we have is a district court, one judge's order.
Yep.
That's different from the Ninth Circuit, which would have been clearly statewide,
right.
The Court of Appeals order. So what we have here is a little confusing. There'll be some announcement, I assume, from Governor Jerry Brown and his attorney general about how they plan to take in this ruling. And then there may be more lawsuits that follow from this. But I think what the most important thing is that the Supreme Court has said things today that are only in support of recognizing the rights of gay couples. And that is really going to be a cause of celebration for the gay rights cause.
They're chanting DOMA is dead outside the Supreme Court on this historic day in Washington. Of course, not everybody is happy about it. This has been fiercely contested, even as American opinion has been moving. Let's go to Beth in Charleston, South Carolina. Beth, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a Southern Christian, and I never really gave a whole lot of thought to the issue, for example, around DOMA, and because it never really entered my sphere of my life.
Yes.
You know, it was just an issue that other people debated. But I have recently, in the past couple of years, made a very, very close friendship with a gay man, and he told me of an incident in his past where a very close partner of his, for example, was involved in a car accident. His family would not let him visit his partner in the hospital, and once the funeral happened, he was totally not allowed to attend any of the services. And so I can now see how DOMA would influence my friend, and so it's gotten to be a more personal issue for me now.
Beth, let us pick that up. Interesting right there. You've got maybe legal issues at the hospital, certainly cultural issues at a funeral. That's a family decision and a lot of impact here from the Supreme Court ruling today. David, what about the hospital visit part of this? Would that change in states where gay marriage is legal under this rejection of DOMA by the High Court?
Well, you know, actually, for hospital visitation rights, the Obama administration already took a big step by issuing regulations that require that hospitals that receive federal funds must allow visitation for same-sex partners and spouses. So that issue is has already been dealt with by the Obama administration for many, many hospitals around the country. So hospital visitation is normally governed by state law, but Obama was able to issue that regulation because it applied to hospitals accepting federal funds.
Right. And the High Court moving on today with a decision that will affect Social Security payments to gay marriage partners. Income tax filing, joint filing. Meredith in Bolton Landing, New York. Meredith, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. In 1992, my brother Carl Alexander Parsons died of AIDS. I've been haunted with the thought that if he'd been allowed to marry, he might have been in a committed relationship, contributing to society and with us today. And I hope this ruling will mean that no other sisters or mothers have that same haunting thought. I'm so thrilled with this, and thank you for bringing us this news today.
You're very welcome, Meredith, and we hear your emotion right there. We acknowledge it and honor it. I mean, indeed, Emily, this is a rapidly changing picture in this country, further affirmed today in this court ruling. Meredith may be right to imagine that other gays in her brother's position might face different circumstances under a dramatically changing legal structure in this country.
Yes, I think one of the reasons that's such a moving moment on that call is that, you know, the argument for gay marriage all along, since it really was kind of resurrected in the late 1980s, has been that this is a move that will allow gay people to live in the same ways that straight couples do, to have the same range of choices that straight couples have. And so what you imagine from that and what we are seeing as gay people get married across the country is a normalizing. The idea that there's this kind of separate lifestyle that's different and deviant, I think it's really being given the lie, and that is such an important part of this ruling today.
We are watching as quite a substantial crowd is in front of the court, many celebrating, not all. Not everyone is thrilled with this, of course. These were hard-fought legal battles. Reading here from the majority opinion on DOMA from Justice Kennedy saying the federal statute, that is DOMA, is invalid for no legitimate purpose, he wrote, overcomes the purpose and effect to disparage and injure those whom the state, by its marriage laws, sought to protect in personhood and dignity. By seeking to displace this protection and treating those persons as living in marriages less respected than others. Equal protection under the law, the great principle cited in this 5-4 decision today. Justice Scalia is reading from his dissent right now, and we will have more on that as it comes in. Here's the New York Attorney General, Erica Schneiderman, on CNN talking about the newfound equality he says people of his state can now enjoy.
This is about equality, and this means the marriages of people in my state, in New York, and all over America between same-sex couples are going to be treated equally under more than 1,100 provisions of federal law that use the term marriage or define benefits according to marriage. It's a great win, not just for the gay community or for Edith. It's a great win for the American tradition of equal justice under law.
New York Attorney General there, Eric T. Schneiderman. Emily Bazelon, we're all taking on board the scope and subtleties of this as we read these decisions. They're coming out. I've got producers flanking me on either side in the studio, pulling up interpretation after interpretation, headline after headline. You're watching this. Just step back again for a moment, Emily, to look at the scale, the scope, the import of what we're seeing delivered in the high court decisions today.
Well, what I think is really remarkable about this opinion and important is Justice Kennedy's emphasis on dignity. He has been paving the way for this for years. He has been embracing gay rights and talking about how important it is for all people in different statuses and classes in the country to have equal dignity. And so you saw that in Lawrence versus Texas, which was the court's ruling striking down state laws that criminalized sodomy. Kennedy was very concerned about dignity in that opinion. And you see see it again today. And I think there's just this basic recognition of humanity and an embrace of the full kind of scope of the human experience in this opinion. And I really think the country is ready for exactly this, both the legal step and also, importantly, the kind of social step the court is taking here.
Lots of rainbow celebration on the steps of the Supreme Court today. But of course, Naomi Rao, in 36 states, gay marriage is still not legal. And this has been hard fought. And this is an enormous change in the historic understanding of marriage. Where does resistance go now within the legal system, Naomi?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I'm one of those conservatives who, as a political matter, very much supports same-sex marriage and its, you know, sort of the rapidly increasing political recognition for same-sex marriage. I do think, though, that the constitutional issues are somewhat different. And so while there may be a celebration of you know, sort of the tremendous political strides that have been made over the last 10, 15 years, I think the constitutional issues are a little bit different. And so even
What do you mean by that in this context?
Well, I guess I think even if we value individual dignity and the recognition of that, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is an equal protection violation when a state distinguishes between same-sex and heterosexual marriages. And I think that's an important distinction to maintain. And so I think the court
hasn't gone just the other way with this ruling?
Yeah, they have, you know, and so they have said, you know, that this is very much about equality. It's about equal protection. They could have issued a somewhat narrower decision on federalism grounds, which, you know, although the opinion sort of mentions federalism, doesn't strongly rest on a federalism rationale. And so I think it is quite significant that they are saying, you know, equal protection includes, you know, this kind of recognition for this issue. And I think it is, you know, I think it very much calls into question the laws in the, you know, the 36 states which oppose gay marriage.
I mean, David Cordell in California, think of what, how much this has moved and how quickly. Bill Clinton, of course, signed the Defense of Marriage Act. Barack Obama, our sitting president, came into office, you know, with a very sort of neither here nor there position on marriage equality. He wasn't there until only very recently did he himself come. And now the high court saying, DOMA, done, gone.
Yes, the transformation in public understanding of LGBT persons has advanced tremendously. And as people come to know LGBT people in their lives and understand their shared humanity with everyone else, understanding of the importance of treating people equally under the law also increases. Adding to what Naomi has said, I think it's very significant, and also adding to what Emily said, that this opinion by Justice Kennedy in the DOMA case focuses on dignity. Although none of the opinions in these cases address whether states must let same-sex couples marry, and that includes the opinions in the Prop 8 case, which are on jurisdictional grounds. Though none of these opinions address that question, these fundamental points that Justice Kennedy makes about dignity, about the harm to same-sex couples and their children, which he repeatedly emphasizes, when the state singles them out for different treatment, will, I think, have implications on constitutional arguments in future cases as to whether the states may withhold the right to marry from same-sex couples. I think one thing that's very important in Justice Kennedy's opinion is he acknowledges that DOMA, as a discriminatory law telling all federal officials not to recognize same-sex couples' marriages, really sends signals to others basically that it's okay to discriminate. I think that's an important point.
Here we are, and Justice Kennedy as the vote. Emily, is that surprising? I mean, nobody saw this as a slam dunk as far as I know, and yet, you know, it's got kind of a sort – it sort of feels that way on this side of the decision. What about anticipation of this, Emily?
I think lots of people thought that DOMO would be struck down after oral argument. And I know for me, listening in the courtroom, there was a really important moment. It came actually in the California case, but the lawyers and the justices were batting around this question of, okay, what's the harm from allowing gay marriage? You know, why should the state be able to do this? What's the state interest here? And Justice Kennedy brought up the potential harm to the children of gay adoptive parents of not having legal gay marriage. He talked about the voices of the children. And to me, that suggested that he was really thinking about this on a very human level, about, you know, the couples that maybe he knows or that certainly he can read about. I think so many of us have friends and family who are directly affected by these decisions.
Sure.
And so you can see that concern under his decision here.
Let's listen back to that. This was from argument here in March, Justice Kennedy talking about the children in these marriages. Here's Justice Kennedy in March.
There is an immediate legal injury or legal, what could be a legal injury, and that's the voice of these children. There are some 40,000 children in California, according to the red brief, that live with same-sex parents. And they want their parents to have full recognition and full status. The voice of those children is important in this case, don't you think?
Justice Kennedy doing signaling there in March in oral arguments. And here, Justice Ginsburg in U.S. v. Windsor, the case that has led today to striking down DOMA in March in oral argument, talking about what it would mean to treat some marriages as what she called sort of skim milk marriages.
As Justice Kennedy said, 1,100 statutes, and it affects every area of life. And so you would really diminishing what the state has said is marriage. You're saying, no, state, there are two kinds of marriages, the full marriage and then the sort of skim milk marriage.
House Speaker John Boehner just asked about the DOMA ruling. He declined to comment at this point. Justice Ginsburg there in March in oral arguments. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court striking down DOMA. Kathleen in Boston is calling. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Today happens to be my 23rd anniversary to my partner, and we have the best groovy love, and this is the best present I could ever hope for. It will mean more federal taxes that I pay, but I'm happy to pay them for the 1,100 rights and benefits. I wondered if the tax would help soothe the conservatives who don't support equal protection.
What, you think your taxes will go up under this, Kathleen?
Yes, they will. We did the math.
Okay, taxes.
But that's okay. I'm happy to pay for them, and it would mean more protection should one of us die or anything.
Yeah,
it's just great.
The marriage penalty hits Kathleen, but she's happy to have it within her same-sex marriage. Let me get one more right here from Vineyard Haven, Massachusetts. David, Kathleen, thank you. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. My frustration yesterday with the ruling regarding voting rights is trumped by my joy today. But both are muted by my continued frustration over this 5-4 decision run that is historic in its proportion over the last 10-12 years now, changing substantive bodies of law without majority or supermajorities, as had been the custom. And I wondered if your panel would like to share their thoughts on that.
David, we'll look straight at that. We're looking at the Supreme Court's big rulings today on marriage equality. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Naomi, what about it? Yes, many 5-4 votes. Is this one where you expected anything different than that? And what about the impact over time of the Supreme Court's stark division, 5-4? Historically, you know, this is unusual, I guess, to have so many 5-4 decisions.
You know, I'm not sure that premise is correct. I think historically the number of 5-4 decisions over the last 30 or 40 years has hovered around 30 to 40%.
Okay.
It does happen that the more high-profile cases tend to be 5-4. But you can see even in the marriage cases, you know, in the DOMA case, it was sort of a, you know, traditional 5-4 split with Justice Kennedy joining the liberals in that case. But in the Prop 8 case, in the California case, with respect to standing, you know, an unusual lineup, right, with the Chief Justice Roberts and Scalia joined by Ginsburg, Breyer, and Kagan. So not all 5-4 decisions are along the traditional lines. And, you know, most decisions are not, in fact, 5-4 decisions.
Well, not everybody happy about this. Here's Tony Perkins, head of the Family Research Council, talking with ABC News today, expressing his disappointment with the Supreme Court's rulings on the Defense of Marriage Act and the California Prop 8.
When people begin to see that this is about much more than the marriage altar, that it's really about fundamentally altering the landscape of America, I don't think they'll be as eager to move down this path toward same-sex marriage. So I don't think that time is on the side of those who want to redefine marriage. That's why they've gone to the court, to try to impose this on the nation.
Emily, I don't know where the momentum's running today, but I'm not sure Tony Perkins is calling this one right. Momentum seems to be running the other way, and the Supreme Court now part of that.
Right. When you look at the polls, you see a real shift toward support of gay rights and gay marriage. It's especially true among young people, where the rates of approval are up into the high 70s. And so I think conservatives who are social conservatives and deeply oppose this redefining of marriages are on the losing side here. Now, it is true that there's lots of effort still to be expended by the gay rights movement, those 36 states that you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And so we're in the middle of a shift here. It's not by no means, you know, time for the gay rights movement to declare complete victory. But I think they certainly have momentum on their side.
Carl in Ithaca, New York. You're on the air, Carl. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah.
A couple of quick points. The Proposition 8 in California was actually one of the first propositions that removed a right from a group of people as opposed to added historically. The other point is, one of the first, I'm not sure it's the only one. Another thing is that many states have laws that are still on the books which are unconstitutional, and they will be tested if someone brings a suit against them. Some states still have laws against cohabitation, for example, or biracial marriage. And the third point I like to make is I don't quite get the these Christians who, there seems to be a lot of a la carte religion going on in society. So I would ask these people how they feel about do not kill, feed the hungry, house the homeless. I'll take my answers off the.
Well, I mean, the people, there's a big smorgasbord, but people trying to take on board change of this magnitude, this is large cultural change. This is not small. And today we see significant legal action by the U.S. Supreme Court on this front, with response just all over the country, from the steps of the court where there is some gnashing of teeth and a lot of celebration right now. Here's sound from one home in San Francisco this morning. Friends and supporters of gay marriage erupting when they heard the court's ruling on Prop 8. Celebration, David Codell, in your neck of the woods there in California. Here's Elizabeth writing us online saying, On Point Radio has me sobbing in the car with its DOMA stories. And I assume that's It sounds to me like it's celebratory right there. David, where do you see things headed here legally? How does this change the legal landscape in front of us now on marriage equality?
Okay. Before I answer that, I just have to say, in terms of celebration, today happens to be also to the day the 10th anniversary of when the Supreme Court issued its opinion in Lawrence v. Texas, which struck down Texas's sodomy law. So June 26th may start to take on special significance for the LGBT community in America. In terms of where we're headed, you know, it's very interesting. In the DOMA case, Justice Scalia has a dissenting opinion where he goes on at length about the fact that, in his view, the majority's opinion striking down DOMA, resting on dignity principles, will inevitably lead to the legalization of marriage equality in the states. So it's interesting. In 2003, in the Lawrence v. Texas case, Scalia made the same prediction.
But this, too, looks like he's predicting more marriage equality, even in dissent?
That's correct. Yes.
Scalia may not be celebrating that. And maybe the other three, for a total of four on the court, maybe with him in that. Many celebrating on the steps of the court and beyond. DOMA struck down today. And also California, gay marriage, given a kind of green light here. David Codell in Los Angeles, Naomi Rao at George Mason University, Emily Bazelon with Slate. It's great to have you all with us. Big day at the High Court. Listeners, thanks for being here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.